You would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. We're in chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. This is God's Word. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The message today is repent and follow Jesus. Repent and follow Jesus. We've talked before about what the word repent means. John the Baptist called people to repentance. We said that literally the wording means a change of mind, but the context always makes it clear it is a change of mind that results in a change of direction, a changed behavior. Yesterday, my wife and I went to the dentist, and on the way back, I stopped where I sometimes stop to get gas. On the way there, I stopped where I sometimes stop to get gas on the way back, sorry. And I got the gas and got back on the highway, heading back for home, not having gotten to the dentist yet. And a moment later, I said, got on the highway going the wrong way. I said, "You're about to see me repent." And so the very next exit that we came to, which was the first exit after I'd gotten on, I went up the ramp, went across, came back the other way. Why? Because I was going the wrong way. And if you repent, you don't just acknowledge that and keep on going. You turn around at the first opportunity. And that's what I did. And I didn't cut across the median because that would have been violating another law and I would have had to repent. But I took the very next exit. I didn't say, "Well, let's just see how this works out." No, I was going the wrong way. I don't do that typically. It was troubling to me to find that I had made that mistake. But you know what? Instead of analyzing and trying to figure out, why did I do this? Did I not get enough sleep? I needed to just turn around. You understand? You can get bogged down in trying to analyze and understand everything. And what you really need to do is just realize I'm going the wrong way and turn around. Repent. Now that had been the word that John the Baptist used over and over. And now John is in prison and Jesus relocates his ministry, focuses in the area of Capernaum. He's right by the Sea of Galilee. It's an absolutely beautiful place. I was so pleased the first time I saw that region, because I'd always pictured Jesus, you know, kind of in this arid, difficult place. I knew that there were some places that were nice, but pictures I'd seen of down around Jerusalem and certainly south there, if you go down toward Jericho and all, it looked pretty arid and tough to me. And then I went to where Jesus spent most of his time. And it was beautiful. It was lush and green, mountains and hills and valleys with lake and one great big one called the Sea of Galilee. And I thought, wow, if this is where Jesus chose to spend most of his ministry, I think it's okay for me to stay in Ware's Valley. Now, Jesus goes to this region and he preaches a message. He went there in fulfillment of the scriptures. Matthew wants us to know this was to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. And he quotes it. Jesus was doing exactly what God had said through the prophet Isaiah all those centuries before. This is what he's going to do. He did what God said. But when he got there, the message he preached sounded a lot like what John had said. Repent! 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 I don't like that word. We've said that before. Shame. Shame on you for misunderstanding. It's good news. Imagine if when I got on the interstate going the wrong way, I ended up missing the dental appointment because there's no way to get back. The word repent means there's a way to get back. You don't have to keep going and doing what you've been doing. You don't have to sin in that pattern over and over and over and say, well, I just can't help it. I just can't change. This is just the way it is. I'm just this way. No. God calls you to repent. And when he calls you to repent, he enables you to repent. So repent. Repent. Believe what he says, agree with him, and turn around. Now, as Jesus was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Andrew had previously met Jesus and had introduced Peter to him. Okay? First thing Andrew did was go get his brother Peter and bring him and introduce him to Jesus. So Jesus sees those two, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they said, I'm sorry, we're fishing. Is that what happened? No. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Jesus, can you give me about 2 hours? I just got to wrap some things up here. Is that what happened? No, because obeying Jesus is so much more valuable than anything else that you've got your hands in. Doing what he says is of eternal value. How much do the nets cost? I don't know, but they cost something. What about whatever fish they'd caught? Don't even know if they caught any yet. What is clear from the text is that it didn't matter. What mattered was that Jesus said, come follow me. So I want us to consider, we'll look at the other two also, and then we'll ask the question. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. They were getting ready to fish. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus was preaching, repent, the kingdom's near. And then he calls these guys to follow him, and immediately they did it. What were they doing wrong? What was it they needed to repent of? What was the sin here that they had to turn away from? Nothing wrong with fishermen fishing. It wasn't sinful for them to be casting a net into the sea. It wasn't sinful for the sons of Zebedee to be in the boat with their dad preparing their nets. They weren't doing something bad. They were doing something that was totally responsible and legitimate, worthy and upstanding. I mean, it was all good. But when Jesus says, come follow me, you drop what you're doing and you follow Jesus. For us to repent, we think rightly, primarily in terms of sin. But you see, anything can become a sin if it keeps us from Jesus. If it keeps us from doing what he says. If Jesus says, come, what do you need to do? Come. If Jesus says, follow me, that's what we need to do. And you know what? If you read the rest of what happens, Jesus goes throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing everyone. And look at the last phrase, verse 25. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. A lot of people think that being a Christian is simply a matter of checking the boxes of believing sound doctrine. I believe this. Yes, I believe that. I believe this. I believe that. I grew up in a church where every Sunday we recited the Apostles' Creed. It's a wonderful statement of Christian faith that believers around the world throughout the centuries in various traditions have agreed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. It's a wonderful statement. But guess what? Believing that that is true is not the sum of Christianity. Real Christianity is about a trusting, obedient relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Master. You not only believe that he died on the cross to pay for your sins and that he rose again, but you want him to be in charge of your life. You want to do what he says. And what he says is, we're going places. Follow me. Follow me. He doesn't leave us where we are. Does Jesus love people just as they are? Just as I am? Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Yeah. He loves you just like you are. But he doesn't leave you just like you are. And he doesn't leave you just where you are. If you're going to know Jesus and trust Jesus, you're going to follow Jesus. And he will take you on a journey. He will take you places that are difficult and wonderful and temporary on the way to what is eternal. God has a plan for you. Trust him. And that means follow him. Well, how do I know what he wants me to do? Ask him. Well, I don't hear. Pastor, would you make it sound like you hear him? I don't hear him with my ear. But I study his word, and so I know what he says, and so his word applies to everyday life.
Well, okay, I'm not supposed to use different size
and weights of doing business. Apparently, God hates dishonest weights. So I don't even have one of those scales, and they never do that at the market. So I'm not sure how to apply that to my life. Okay, well, let me tell you how to apply that to your life. Don't cheat people. Don't cheat people. Don't be dishonest. I'll vent for a moment. The United States Postal Service has contracted with Amazon to deliver things to customers. Amazon pays them and gives them the package that I paid for, and they're supposed to deliver it to me, and that's what they say they will do, but then it doesn't fit easily into the back of their vehicle. And so they leave it at the post office, and they send a text to me and to Amazon through the tracking system, letting Amazon know that they tried to deliver my package at 10:43 a.m., but the mailbox was full. Then they show up around 5 with the mail they did get in the truck, and they leave it in the office. We don't have a mailbox. Okay? Why do they say they couldn't fit it in the mailbox or whatever? Why do they do that? Because they want to get paid by Amazon. You understand? If they say to Amazon, hey, I know we took your money to deliver this package, but we just couldn't get it done. I sent someone to pick up the package that they failed to deliver. And you know what happened? She was told, I'm sorry, but we're too busy. We got too many packages today. We'll try and get it to you tomorrow or the next day. They wouldn't even take the trouble to go to the back and get my package, not their package, my package, and give it to my assistant so that I'd have what I need. They won't do that. Pastor Wood, why are you saying all these things? It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with you. Are you saying don't use Amazon? No, what I'm saying is God hates lying. Twice at the end of the book of Revelation, it lists those who will be thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. And you know, in that list, you've got murderers, adulterers, idolaters, but there's one group that gets special emphasis. You know who it is? Liars. It doesn't just list liars, it says, and all liars. In the other list, it says, and all who love deceit. That's what a liar is. They love fooling people. They feel good about it. Let me tell you something. All of us have sinned. All of us need God's grace. But if you live in sin and you are a liar, you are not following Jesus, and you will not be in heaven unless you repent. Repent and follow Jesus. How do I know what He wants me to do? Read the book. See what He says. He says dishonest business practices, God hates it. Well, then I take that to mean that if I'm going to follow Jesus, I can't cheat people. Good. Glad you got it. You understand? If you want to know what God says, pay attention to what God has already said. And then if you ever get the idea that, you know, I could get ahead here. I could make more money if I just deceive these folks. You can't do that and follow Jesus. How do you know that God doesn't want you to? Because He already said He hates that stuff. Do you understand? Well, what if I work for the United States Postal Service And they tell me that that's what I have to do. Because we want the Postal Service to get our money. We desperately need money. We're losing billions of dollars of taxpayer money. So we've just got to put on there that we tried to make the delivery and we couldn't. No, you don't. You don't have to say that. You could write on the little slip, "Sorry, we didn't have enough room in our vehicle." And when Amazon hears that, they may say, "Okay, we're going to have to use a different carrier." Well, then, what if I lose my job? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why would you want to work for people who are liars and thieves? Even if it is the federal government. "Pastor, would please be careful what you say. We want people to be patriotic." I want people to follow Jesus. Can you follow Jesus and be patriotic and work for the federal government? Absolutely. There are some precious people who do. But if you think that feeling patriotic and working for the federal government will get you into heaven, you're on your way to hell. If you think that doing whatever the boss says, because after all, he's the boss, so if he says I need to lie, I'll just lie. If you think that, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent, and you can. Believe what God says and turn and follow Jesus. Do what he says. "Well, there's this guy, and he really likes me, and he makes me feel so good. I mean, it's just, I've never had a guy, you know, treat me like that before." Is he leading you toward Jesus, or is he distracting you from Jesus? "Well, frankly, when I'm with him, all I can think about is how wonderful he is." How wonderful Jesus is? No, how wonderful the guy is. That doesn't sound like it's the right thing, does it? I've known guys who were just eager to follow the Lord, and then some gal appeared on the horizon, and it was like the dog in the movie Up. Okay? Squirrel! Well, can you love Jesus and follow Jesus and still have a wonderful romantic relationship with somebody? Yes! Absolutely. I can attest. Number of people in this room can attest to that. It's true. You can absolutely, passionately love someone and be saying every day, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this person into my life. I know this is of you because this person helps me love you more. Makes me want to follow you more closely." I referred the other day to having been married for over 43 years. Well, I have been married over 43 years. In fact, I've been married over 45 years. In fact, I've been married over 46 years. But that's still over 43. What has happened is that my love for this lady is so strong, the time has just flown by. How's that for spin? Let me just tell you, God isn't against fishing. You understand? Jesus didn't stand there on the shore and say, "What are you doing? Look at you with those nets. Shame on you. You need to get out of there and come follow me." That wasn't the problem. The problem is that anything that would keep us from doing what God says we're supposed to do, that's sin. If you let it. If you look at it and say, "Okay, there's nothing wrong with fishing, but right now I've got something else I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to follow Jesus. Because he said so." You know what God wants you to do? Do it. Obey him. "Well, it could be costly." It will be costly. Please know that. Following Jesus is costly. But following Jesus is always the right thing to do. And so even the crowds, who had not only heard his teaching, but they'd experienced his touch, they'd been healed of all kinds of things out of that multitude from all around geographically, came followers. Now, some of them would not stick with it. Many of his followers would end up deserting him. But I'll tell you this, those who stay with him, those who keep on following, their reward is eternal. God promises that he will not only meet our needs, but that the blessings and glory that await us are greater than anything we can imagine. Hallelujah. Do you understand that when you had no interest in God, God loved you? When you weren't looking to do the right thing, God was looking out for you. And when he calls you to come and follow him, it's not because he's angry. It's because he loves you. And he knows that what he has planned for you is better than anything you could devise. Never be afraid to follow Jesus. Repent and follow him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you do love us with an everlasting love, that we do not have to be afraid to do what you say, because you know what is best. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know the future, and you're in control of it. And so we pray that you would help us just to trust and obey, to rely upon you, to know that in every situation you are working for the good of those who love you, who are the called according to your purpose. We pray that this day we would walk in obedience to you, gladly doing your will. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen.